11:24, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, celebrating the big win for the Blackhawks last night. Joining us to hash it out a little bit, Chicago Tribune's Chris Hein covers the Blackhawks. Chris, it's great to have you on the show today as well. Real quick, just some overall thoughts about last night's game.
You know, I don't think they played as good of a period all season as I saw in that second period. And I've seen, most of their games throughout the season. I didn't think that they had that kind of hockey in them. You know, their backs are against the wall. It's 3-1 against an opponent that has largely outplayed them for most of the series. And they came out and they played, I think, their best period of hockey all season at the time when they needed it the most. It was really something to see. That was about as loud as I've heard the United Center as well.
Everybody is saying that. Everybody is saying that, and that's significant considering that they won a Stanley Cup in that building.
Exactly. Even maybe last year in Game 6, you tend to maybe lose a little bit of perspective because you get a little bit of recency bias in there. Duncan Keith's goal in Game 6 was also very loud. I'd be interested to see if there were any like decibel levels or anything like that. But it was loud when they tied the score right before they took the lead. It was about as loud as I've ever heard it.
That's a really interesting point that you make about that being maybe the most solid period that they've had, because this year has been one that's had more than its share of speed bumps for this Stanley Cup winning team this year. I mean, there are lots of things that have happened this season where, we've all gone, oh man, this is not going to be good for this team this year. And like they always do, they roar back.
Yeah, it's kind of their hallmark. And, you look over the last couple of years and they've been down 3-1 in series multiple times, in the Joel Quenneville, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane era here. And it seems like they always find a way to come back and make these things a series. I don't know what it is about being backed into a corner that, inspires the best play that they have, but it seems like it's they finally reached that level that they need to succeed in the playoffs. We'll see if it carries over Monday night. Scott Trade Center is going to be rocking St. Louis. We'll see if they respond. They responded well in that third period last night. We'll see if they have anything more left in the tank for Monday.
Yeah, you mentioned Toews and Kane. It's interesting that last night it was not the big names on the team that brought it home last night. It was some of the side guys in recent acquisitions that brought it out toward the end of the game.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting things about last night, is that it wasn't Toews and Kane scoring the goals. And usually in big games like this, you've come to expect that. Instead, it was Dale Weiss, the guy they traded for from the Canadiens, who came over at the trade deadline and scored his first goal as a Blackhawk last night. It just so happened to be the game winner. Richard Panik, who they got in a trade for Jeremy Morin back in January from the Maple Leafs. The guy couldn't even crack the roster of the Maple Leafs, the worst team in the NHL.
Right.
And here he is in two consecutive playoff games playing on a line with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And playing well, too. Last night, I thought he was one of the best players on the ice last night. I really did. He didn't score a goal, but he made a lot of things happen. He assisted on a goal. He drew that late penalty that led to an insurance goal. He was just active all over the ice. It was impressive. And Andrew Ladd, the big pickup at the trade deadline, the former Hawk who came over from the Jets, he scores the first goal last night, his first goal of the playoffs. So it was the names you're not accustomed to seeing for Hawks fans coming through this time of year. And I think that bodes well for Monday, and should they advance past Monday, I think it bodes well for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, Marian Hossa last night getting an empty net goal, but also, I think also kind of significant, Andrew Shaw, who's back from that very controversial one-game suspension this week, scoring a power play goal last night as well. I have to point out, if you didn't read Chris's piece on Andrew Shaw earlier this week, one of the best things that I've read about that whole thing. I mean, there was so much being said about that whole thing, but Chris, your piece really kind of put that whole thing into perspective.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do with it, for your listeners that might not be too familiar with it. I am a gay sports writer, and, you know, hearing him or seeing him say that word that he said in game four was, you know, it riles up a lot of feelings in gay people everywhere. And I kind of wanted to make the point that, you know, this is a bad thing, what he said, but I don't think Andrew Shaw is necessarily a bad person. And, you know, I've gotten to know him through covering the team over the last year. I feel like he's a good guy. You know, I just think he made a mistake. And, you know, he was being vilified on social media for right. it. And you know, people were laying the screws on him. And I'm just like, you know, let's take a step back here. Yes, I want to make sure he understands what he said was wrong and why he shouldn't say it again. But let's not turn this guy into a bad guy just because he made a mistake many people make throughout their lives.
Yeah. Did he speak to you personally about that at all after the fact?
We did, yes. So I think it was, what was it, Wednesday? I think the days all blur together here. But I think it was Wednesday was the day that he apologized, you know, in front of cameras to the media. And after that little statement and questions that he took, we went outside the media room where we were, and we had maybe like a 5 minute or so conversation. And you could tell he was just clearly affected by it, and he was broken up and, you know, on the verge of tears. And I just told him, I'm like, look, I said, you made a mistake. It happens. You know, I'm not holding it against you. You know, and he knows I'm gay. And I'm like, I'm not holding it against you. It's fine. You know, I have friends that have used that word before, and I'm still friends with them. You know, and I just told him, I said, I don't, you know, there's nothing different about our relationship today than there was on Monday before you said it. I said, this is going to blow over eventually. You know, just try not to use that word ever again, and we're fine. And yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
Well, your piece, your article was such a reasoned sort of calming influence in that tsunami wave of hysteria that was going on regarding, you know, the whole thing. As you say, social media went crazy. Both sides of the argument, you know, went crazy on it. And then your piece I read, and it was really well, as I've been enjoying all of your writing on this. I'm sure you're looking forward to Monday night game you'll hear here on WGN. We'll look forward to reading your work on the game as well in the Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. No problem. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.